Translation and purport. Srila Prabhupada. O king, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will turn to ashes. Purport. Narada Muni's prophecy prohibited Yudhishthira Maharaja from going to the place where his uncle was staying, because even after quitting the body by his own mystic power, Dhritarashtra would not be in any need of any funeral ceremony. Narada Muni indicated that this body by itself would be turned to ashes. The perfection of the yoga system is attained by such mystic power. The yogi is able to quit his body by his own choice of time and can attain any planet he desires by turning the present body into ashes by the self-made fire. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gana Tiranasya Ganajana Shvaka Chakshuna Tamrena Tasma Shigure Namaha Namo Vishnu Prakishna Rishta Dare Shmati Bhakti Danta Santi Mina Namasa Sarasati Devora Vani Pacharine Nirvishasya Shunyadi Pushchatta Deshatarine Yashla Prabhupada. Okay, let's go on. So, it's a short purport. Let's see. This chapter is very long, so we had discussion about Sankhya Yoga, pretty much length. Sankhya Yoga itself is dry process and boring process, very tedious process for proud people, like people from Satya Yuga. We are so fortunate now. Okay, let's go on. So in beginning, Narada Muni said what Dhritarashtra will have to do in order to achieve this success, because he's always Trikalagya predicting, but he said, If you have to do this, he has to amalgamate identity with intelligence, merge into Brahman, and then, you know, merge in the spiritual sky. And before that, he has to do all these preparations, yama niyamas, bathing three times a day, agnihotras. So, and within 5 days only, this is very remarkable. So, Dhritarashtra is not any old Joe. You know, 5 days only, with the Ashtanga, which is extremely, extremely difficult process. I don't know anyone who achieved success such a quick time as him. Even Dhruva Maharaja took him 3 months or something, yeah? 6 months, see. Very difficult, you know, within 5 days. So, and he already knows how to practice Ashtanga. That's remarkable. I mean, those verses, there's no Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Umam, Jai Shri Gornita, Ki Jai. He's not mentioned that Vidura taught him the Ashtanga Yoga or something. Maybe on the way, because they were all of them three together. They were going to Himalayas. And also he met the sages there as well in these holy places. But I presume that he already knew. In Vedic time, they already knew how to quit the body by yogi process. So within 5 days, it's incredible. And for a person especially who is attached, even more difficult, like Dhritarashtra is embodiment of attachment. His attachment ruined his family, basically, just totally ruined. He was able to have success in yoga. See? And of course, Gandhari was probably most instrumental in this. You know, like, he was blind. There's another one, which is an incredible personality, Dhritarashtra. He was blind even. You know, like, can you imagine, he's blind there and, you know, want to do Agnihotra, you know, where's my spoon, ladle, where are my matches or something? Not matches, Arani wood to light the fire. Oh, damn, you know, again, you know, I misplaced my Achaman cup or something. It's just a joke, you know, I just apologize to Dhritarashtra. By the way, Dhritarashtra is still in Brahmajyoti. So if you make jokes, you may decide to come back, likely to be born in ISKCON. But he's still there, in his dormant state. But what Vidura said instead, you know, he more or less abused him by his words, to just, how we call it, jolt him out from his present situation. He said, your memory is shortened, intelligence is disturbed, your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, you're coughing out mucus, you know, coughing out mucus. You know, it's not inspiring for somebody to inspire him, you know. And in one sense, if you are into health, you can go, probably, you know, you have to sit straight, your spine is a bit, you know, you're kind of weak. Do some yoga, get some energy, you know. It can be inspired. But for self-realization, it could be also, you know, finish this material life, you know, spiritual life is the goal, supreme personal devotee. You can, such a word can kind of jolt somebody out, see. And above that, which was like maybe crucial point, I mean, like it's incredible, you know, his family is destroyed by very persons in whose house he was, you know, subjugated to maintenance. And then, funny thing that Yuzara said, he said, you are like a dog eating remnants given by Bhima. Who is Bhima? Bhima killed his most dear son, who was cause of all of this calamity. Bhima killed him, and you're now living under his mercy, throws him like a dog, and eat something, you know. And besides that, I think Bhima killed most of his sons. Only a few were killed by somebody else. So this was just, you know, okay, finally, you know, this strong word must be used at proper time. See? His situation was very, very lamentable. You know, and then, of course, Vidura came just because of that. He couldn't tolerate this. He knew that Dhritarashtra is in the house of Pandavas, and all this God had to go there. Just main reason was him to come from his pilgrimage, just to pull this Dhritarashtra out. Enough, you know. You're old. You're useless. You know. Say, go to an unknown place, free yourself from all obligations, and quit your useless body. But in the later verses before this, he preaches to him. He said, awake and depend fully on the personality of Godhead, residing within the heart. Live immediately as Kali Yuga is approaching. Why mention that Kali Yuga is approaching? Because he said, Prabhupada in purport said that, you know, these words were so strong, piercing the heart of Dhritarashtra. But if he would wait for some time more, Kali Yuga will overcome him also, and forgetfulness will come, and this potency of word of Vidura will just fade away. Like, that's our problem, actually. In our spiritual life, in Kali Yuga, lack of determination is something which greatest obstacle. You think it's fine, you know, and then when you are in trouble, yeah, you know, you seek help. But then when it's nice, like they say, smashan vairagya, you face reality when you are in the funeral. Oh, you know, what's that life about? And then after you get out, okay, let's go. Just old ways. That's our problem. Talk something, you know, specifically. So speak a little bit more about Ashtanga, although we speak a lot. You see. So more or less, Ashtanga is main yoga in Vedic teachings. Any other part is just a part of Ashtanga, which is named differently. Kriya Yoga, Hatha Yoga, it's all part of Ashtanga, Pranayama, many other yogas. Because in this age, we are simply not able to perform complete Ashtanga Yoga, 8 processes. But we are lucky, we can perform Ashtanga and Navanga Yoga. We perform Navanga Yoga. You know what Navanga Yoga is? Ashtanga is 8 processes, and Navanga is 9. What is that? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. You see, in Ashtanga Yoga, you cannot surpass any other stage. You have to go through stage by stage by stage. No way that you can jump over. You see, and you go on your own strength, build up your own strength. But in Navanga Yoga, any part you attain perfection. And besides that, if you are very sincere, determined, Krishna help. So any part. So that's our, although it may appear to be very difficult in this age, even that. But when you compare those ashtangas and whatever, it's very, very difficult. Especially when you come to pranayama, I can touch a little bit on that. Pranayama is a very difficult process. You know, there are stages, about 4 or 5 stages in actually successfully doing pranayama. Nowadays, this what they do is in a kind of joke, you know. Even somebody, you know, sometimes devotees have kind of tendency to say, it helps me, pranayama, I get more calmed, and, you know, in many different ways. But you can suppress externally, but it will come in some way, you know. So therefore, pranayama is a very long process. In pranayama, what you do, you calm the mind, you silence the mind, you know. So, for example, when you go through this beginning stage of pranayama, it's called rhythmic breathing. I was practicing this like long ago before Krishna consciousness. You count center on a number of, and then you slowly breathing, and then you pause, count the same number, and then exhale, count the same number, and then again pause, the same number. And you increase that time. More and more and more. So that's the first stages of Ashtanga. Actually, I was able to breathe in within 1 hour about 10 to 12 times only. That means 2 minutes each part. And there is a benefit, no doubt. My digestion was incredible. Like, I don't know, skin complexion was just kind of different. I could kind of detox. Mind was calm. But this is just a small, small, small joke. As you increase more time, like Dhruva said, first he was breathing once a day, then every 3 days, every 6 days, something, every 20 days. So in this, that's a point that, and on some point, very advanced stage, it's called, I think, Ruchaka or something, when you merge exhaling breath into inhaling breath. They merge together. And externally, you don't take any breath in, neither you exhale any breath in. And your life air is circulating within you, prana. And in that stage, you don't need any food, you don't need any water, you don't need any rest, absolutely nothing. You subside on prana. So it's a proof that prana is main energy which on which body subsides. You live on prana. Even that stage, therefore, before you actually even do pranayama, you have to be able to control the mind, because you'll be gapping for the air. My mind will just freak out if he's not ready. See, that's the only main point is in all yoga, basically controlling the mind. Especially in pranayama, you must have controlled mind because you barely breathe. So in that Ruchaka yoga, when you attain this stability in that, then it's called Kumbhaka yoga, in which you enter a kind of like a trance stage. And that's a stage from which you can extend your life. There are stages there also, but for example, you can stay in that state for days, for months, for years. And at some point, you stay there as long as you wish. And you can extend body, your lifetime for many, 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 many years. That's the purpose of it. Like Prabhupada said that he met yogis who are 400 years old or something. And they look so young because of pranayama. Somewhere in the cave, for years, maybe 100 years, you can just stay there try to perfect themselves. So you extend your lifetime. That's the main thing in pranayama. And then next stage is, so for self-realization, yeah. Pointed, Prabhupada also said in Ashtanga Yoga, or mystic yoga, Dhyana Yoga, whatever, most of the cases that yogis fall down. At some point, mind gets agitated and they need few lifetimes. Even if you study Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, it's brilliant explanation of yogas. I mean, now, just by chance, I start to read 6th chapter while preparing for this verse. And now I appreciate so much more. Before I was just going through because it's dry, kind of, you know, not concerned for us. But then I'm reading how explained, you know, Prabhupada, what he says. Like, I was just in ecstasy just reading this, you know, explanation. It was incredible how fortunate we are, you know. Study six chapter to learn more. You can learn about yoga a lot there, our purpose. So this process was like very easy in Satya Yoga. You seek and, you know, you see the meditate for 60,000 years. It's nothing, you know. 60,000 only. It's nothing. You know. Then maybe you attain perfection. Even there is a danger, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada always said that. There's danger to fall down. But they were proud. He's mentioned that's like too proud. Chanting was potent in that time as well. But they were kind of proud. Their abilities, you know, like, for example, you are in prison and it's dark, you for years there, and occasionally they let you out, just go corridor or whatever, they go in the courtyard just to have some walk, and you kind of figure out settings in where, you know, in prison, how to get there, how to get out, where is camera, where is, and then in your mind you draw a plan and come into your room and then just find a way somehow to break the wall. You know, to go to the other room, disable CCTV, find the time when the guards are swapping, and you know, so many things, complicated plan. And you're very clever, you kind of made up everything, every single detail you predicted. And finally you made, and you come to that room, and there's a door there. And then the door is open. And then you realize doors are in the same cell you've been sitting and rotting for years. You could just go on the left side, there was some junk there you couldn't see, and just walk out. So that's Ashtanga, you know. That's a bhakti. You come to that stage again. That's our fortune. So that's a how. But due to rebellious nature, we have this impersonal tendency, therefore bhakti yoga for us looks like also difficult. You have this rebellious tendency, you know, for lifetimes. And of course, the impersonal tendency, impersonalism, like, it's very hard to, you know, finally, you know, accept that God is a person, first of all, deep in heart, fully. It's very difficult. He said, even great, great, great transcendentalists, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, they're very, very difficult time to accept, to understand that beyond all this manifestation is a person. So that's a mind, what mind does. And then Prabhupada, the other day we were reading in the morning, Prabhupada said, somebody asked, Prabhupada, can you do yoga for so-called bridge preaching or something? And Prabhupada said, yeah, you can teach them to stare at the tip there of their nose and then meditate on Vishnu and then do some pranayama. And then you explain to them the purpose of yoga, you know, like that. And then tell them that they're just wasting their time because they will not achieve success in this age, Prabhupada said. Like, and many ways, Prabhupada, like through, when you read, it's not important. You know, those yoga is for neophytes. Prabhupada would just dismiss. Of course, for body, you can help you for the physically. You know, I was doing yoga and I have to admit that yoga kind of sorted my back pain. I had really always suffering from them. Kind of physically can help you. For that, it's fine, you know. But most of the people don't even know what is the purpose of yoga, anyway. And interesting, like, when you come to pranayama, in Bhagavad Gita says, of all the strength, I think, I'm pranayama. Is it that exact verse? Who remembers? From strength, I'm pranayama, something, system of breathing. That means prana is your greatest strength. And then I think a few verses later, I said, of all things, very, very difficult to control, I'm the mind. See? So the most difficult thing is to control this mind. So don't even think of that. But I said, of all strength, I'm pranayama. That means pranayama can subdue the mind after very, very, very long practice. So interesting. in Gita. Yeah. But it's better to engage something else, as I mentioned, like sadhana. This is our... For example, like new prana, you externally you can subdue, control urges, your anger especially. But it gets manifested some way. Like, for example, when four Kumaras, Brahma told him, now you marry and procreate. Forget it about it. Didn't want. No, you're going to marry. You're going to marry. I want to fulfill the universe. You just forget about it. And Brahma externally didn't act anymore. Subdued. But what was that? His anger was so strong and focused that Rudra came to his forehead. Rudra, who destroys entire universe. So this potency of destruction of universe, that's a Brahma's anger invested within a Shiva. Therefore, when you want to conceive the child, your state of mind will definitely be invested in your kid. Therefore, there are all these processes of purification. Whatever you state, it'll be part of personality of the child. So that's how formidable enemies are those. Yeah, Ashutosh, yeah. Very easy angered. This is Brahma's aspect. But very easy pacified as well. Sometimes we think like, to kill the mind. Most of the techniques, first to silent mind, to kill the mind somehow, to make it friend, which is impossible. Like, take it mind like a sponge, put it in water bucket and hold it there. Oh, I hope it's dead now. 5 minutes already passed. He's alive again. He never quiets. Mind is always active. No way. You cannot kill him simply. That's a pranayama. Keep in mind silent with this trance. But every moment, you're finished. In some stage, maybe you can kind of surprise, as it says here, merge, and then you can maybe. Like, remember when I was younger, I was watching this kind of movie, very dark movie called Movie About Killing. There's one person tried to kill somebody and just try this way and try that way and try. It just, this person is alive and alive and alive and we just can't kill him. And then he gave up and he was still alive. So it's a mind. You cannot do anything about it. So you have to do different way. That's how it goes. So for all this, you need determination. See? To build up determination. That's introduction in Ashtanga Yoga is to build determination for real yoga. So all the stages there, even pranayama, is just to build this determination, which Dhritarashtra did. See? Because more or less, what Vidura says, Narada says, yeah, if determination of Dhritarashtra is strong, he'll succeed. If not, he may not. So he leaves the room, kind of, so that you cannot blame. Oh, Narada, you said, but he didn't. He leaves the room, so there's a free will. We have our part to play as well. So how our determination is hampered? Then he just, maybe a few thoughts. How our determination is hampered? Why we kind of don't have the strong determination, but we drag on for years and years and years? One, two. Yeah. It basically comes to everything. Like, yeah, material geometry, of course. Yeah. Yeah. This also, why is not? So, there's something else, you see. Because, you see, like, because we think we're lacking something in this world, which we didn't do or do not so greatly. So we feel that there's something here still. As you said, there's a goal, but I have to be honest with myself, so-called. So we have to have some skill, a better body, be more clever, better situated, or some material possessions. Anything for which we look back to this world. That's the hamper of determination diminishes, see. And we think if you have this, you'll be happier, we'll be cooler, you just remember when you are younger, my goodness, you know, how much time and energy you wasted to try to be somebody outstanding, try to learn some skill, try to look kind of just out of crowd, be something. So much time. At least now we can understand how wasteful was that. See. So what is the termination of a yogi? You have to come to that point. Our determination. What you think will make you very determined, formidable. That's it. In one word, if you say, or short sentence. What you would make you determined and realize finally, like Dhritarashtra did. That's it. Convince of the goal. Back on fuzzy. Cow. Yeah, there's another. I mean, this is all arts too, of course. So for different person, one thing can jolt him out. Like any of those. Prajna. Yeah. Yeah, there's another one. See, many. I was meditating on a lot. I mean, maybe in case of me, but. He said that you have to enough strong realization that there is absolutely nothing for me in this material world. I simply have no ambition to achieve anything in this world. This for me was. This sentence is in my mind all the time. Somehow, it makes me ecstatic, you know. I have simply nothing to achieve in this material world. That's the beginning. Huh? No. No. You know, futility means, you know, you've been fed up, frustrated. Yeah, it's worthless. Of course it's worthless, yeah. That's a part of it, yeah. You know, like, so, no ambitions here. But that's the beginning only, because almost like denial. Now we have to do something. So we have to go a step further. So with this determination, we can succeed. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Krishna, Hare Krishna. And this is instilled by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, which is more or less Shastra, because Guru tell what is in Shastra, sadhus tell what is Guru said and what is in Shastra, is mainly in Shastra. So this determination is instilled by Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, of course. So when you come to the point, no more messing about, you know, that's a beginning. See, moment to choose, no ambition, that's it. Before that is pretty much a drag, kind of. Your leg is here and your leg is here as well. You can practice that. Our process allows that gradually. You know yourself. You do a bit of this, but there are attachment as well. But you have to come to that point. Finish. Vanaprastha. That's called Vanaprastha. Seriously. I mean, I talk with few grihasthas. Well, just everything is arranged for them already, you know. He and his wife, blah, blah, blah. And still the attachment's there, you know, still is just drag on, you know. Because if you feel, I will come to the stage where I will not have any obligations, where new things will not come, where I will not new children, grandchildren, whatever come. And then, if you wait for that, it will not come. Because things just come in, and come in, and come in, and come in. Your business, okay, they'll get business to kids, and then go on, okay, let's marry the son and grandson, oh, I want to see their grandchildren. And they go on, oh, it just never ends. So therefore, in Vedic time, preparation for Grihastha life didn't happen in one moment. Moment you enter Grihastha life, you already decide, in this age, I'm going to quit home. And you let everybody knows. And you keep reminding them occasionally because they forget. So that they are aware he's determined he's going to do. And then in this way they're prepared, they help you, and your determination is built up. At a certain age, either my job, whatever, obligations are finished or not, that age I'm going to quit. That's how you do. You prepare, you know, that time, that's it. And society accepts, family accepts, you're happy, finally. That's how you renounce, you see. That's a way of... Not just suddenly. You know, I just heard recently a lecture, I think, Urmila Mataji said that one Mataji, she wanted to marry a boy, and he said, okay, I'll marry you if you let me, when I'm exactly 50, I'm going to quit the home. She said, yeah, no problem. They were young, 20 something. And then he didn't prepare her for that. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. When he was nearly 50, he just left. And she was devastated. Took her like a year or two to come, you know. And then later he kind of apologized, but didn't fix anything. So this sudden leave, that means. I appreciate this determination, really. But it could all be the other way. Anyway. So, okay, we jump over. I'm going to do everything at 10 minutes only. So, for this, to build that determination, to go gradual process, we need regulations. So, yama and niyama are part of any process, not just process, even material world. Everybody has some do's and don'ts. So, which prepares you, which make you civilized, make you gradually. So we also have our yamas, niyamas. What are our niyamas? Our four. Our don'ts. What is our four don'ts? Our four don'ts. Four regulative principles. These are niyamas. We don't. Isn't it? What does our yamas? We had many things. Navanga Yoga, these are yamas. Non-practice devotional service. This is what we do. So. Yama and yama. Yeah. And these are just first thing, introductory steps. It's not that you follow four regs and you're already there. It's just you're a human being. You have a chance to practice spiritual life. The same like in Ashtanga. You do yama and yama, asana, Pratihara, whatever. This is just introduction to menting. So to be prepared. Like I said there, you know, we bathing three times a day, and fasting, and doing Agnihotra to prepare for the menting. Because you have to diminish material desires. Yeah, I said everybody has a yama and yama. Whatever you achieve, there are things to do, things to not. Although, sometimes I'm thinking that most of the yamas of common man is something which leads him to yamaraj. Yama to yamaraj. It means you do things which will just lead you to hell. That's a yamas in material world. So, for spiritual life, you have to know what it is. Okay. Do's and don'ts. So, of course, sadhana, that's our yamas. Sadhana. So, sadhana means things prescribed for us, written by Sadhu Shastra Guru. That's the sadhana. I don't follow the mind, because if you follow the mind, my goodness, you end up God knows where, see. For example, like, I don't know, you do household duties and then you take a radio and put some show on, put Srimad Bhagavatam class. Actually, no, my mind will never speak to you Srimad Bhagavatam class, but something else. Let's have some radio show there. And you do household duties and radio keeps going, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you're close, you know, you do your household duties. Sometimes you laugh because mind sometimes says, I'm using things, but you are not concerned much. So this is sadhana. Mind is barking, blah, 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 blah. Never stops, but you do your thing. ignoring. That's the way to control the mind. You just he's there. You don't, you know, mess with him. Yes, fine. You have everything, whatever you want. No problem. I just do whatever I do. You know, that's how we control the mind. He never stops. Let him bark. But then, so that's a sadhana. Otherwise, it's just manoratena. See? Like, for example, by sadhana, you go straight from green, from red to green. To be on manoratena, you stop on red light, on yellow light. So can you imagine somebody? You just can't make it. Cannot, you know, stays on red, yellow light. Should I or not? Everybody cursing probably in traffic lights. So, you know, straight. So that's a tendency. So you have to learn that. Just surpass sadhana. You know, forget my logic, forget my feelings. I feel is that, I feel is that. For our sadhana. Straight. See? And about quitting the body. That's the last point I want to make, that quitting the body. It's kind of astonishing that, you know, by will, once, you know, saintly person can quit his body. Most of the people resist up to last point. See, if you are religious, of course, there is only up to level of acceptance. Like if you are Christian, for example, you accept, you know, I surrender to Jesus and whatever. Or in Islam, there is a way that you whisper the mantra, something like Allah is only prophet, Allah is only God and Muhammad is his prophet. You repeat this mantra. Or if you cannot speak, they can chant in your ear. That so this kind of preparations, how we do. And there are many books how to, you know, be free from fear of death. But, you know, by your power, you quit your body. It's just incredible. And burn your body. It would be actually incredible that you can burn your body to ashes. Then you'll save you so much money for funerals, man. You know. Seriously, you know. So, you know, I can bless you. May you never die because it's just too expensive. You know. It's just, you know. Yeah. Yeah? For what?
For burning the body and funeral.
Yeah, for all this. It's very expensive. In England, it's about 12,000 or something. I don't know, 10. It's very expensive. So you can burn your body. Save you. I mean, somebody may call me a miser or something, but I just try to be resourceful and economic, you know. Even if they don't like you, they'll curse you and your family, you know. It's just too much. So therefore, I like this idea, go to a secluded place and fit your body with knowing by anyone, as yogi would do. Nobody knows. But if they find you, always somebody is there who will try to make some money out of your body, you know. Like some funeral company or something. So, and it's interesting about this, burning the body. There are cases, maybe you heard, maybe not. There are cases in which the people just burst in the flame suddenly. You heard of this, anyone? They burst in the flame. They call self-combustion. This is about 200 cases recorded in history. It's just out of blue, you know, just... But it just kind of, they cannot explain the phenomenon, how it works, how is that happening. And interesting that this kind of fire, which comes from their body out, it seems to me is not painful, because even in one case it was not recorded that person was screaming and running in flames. It was normal, usually they would sleep, and then fire will appear and very quickly consume the body. Entire torso, legs would leave, and hands, and then part of the head was burned, you couldn't recognize the person. But if you just turn to ashes. And interesting that even combustible things around you were not set in the fire. Even cases where one person lays on straw mat, fire didn't touch that. Just incredible, this kind of phenomena. They cannot describe why, you know. Like I was sometimes thinking about it, maybe some imbalance of chemicals within the body. Like if you've been on chemistry class ever, there's a place you mix two liquids together, even one drop of it, big explosion and fire. So it could be that, or sometimes thinking maybe there were yogis in the last life, which I believe is closer to true. And at some point they fail and decide at some point I'll just leave the body. It could be that as well, kind of very phenomenal, nobody can describe. how is that happens. So that's very interesting, you know. And then, just for the sake of, he said that statistics said that all these victims are mostly women. That's interesting. And they're mostly alcoholic women. So it's not for women to drink, really. You know, ladies, don't drink because you'll be labeled as a flammable. Mostly ladies. I guess there's some chemistry in the ladies which kind of produce, not men. I said the body is born spontaneously, but some lighted substance had also come into contact with it. Sometimes it's flamed also from external point. Hands and feet usually fell off. The fire had caused very little damage to many other combustible things I mentioned already. And he said combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fetid ashes, very offensive in odor. So kind of you just go. It's interesting how phenomenon unexplained. So I think we are exhausted. 1 minute, somebody has something to add to this. Say something. Yeah.
Recently, my daughter, I forgot what they call it.
There's a mic.
Corona. Recently, my daughter, she contracted this...
coronavirus.
She couldn't do anything. She had to just lay down.
Yeah.
She was sick. And at that time, she said to me that because she was helpless, she became very peaceful. She didn't know what to do. She was complete, and she only had her two kids there helping her. And they were just sort of, one was in the age where he could stay. But they had to look after her. And she said, all of a sudden she became very contemplative. She was sort of helpless. And she said, it was so wonderful. She said that actually, because she does accounts for people, money, this, that, all that stuff, and people demand and all this sort of thing, she said it was wonderful to that degree in that she realized she was helpless. So she became peaceful. And then her kids had to help her and they had to cook for her and everything. So then she realized that maybe they have to do it. Not her feed them. And it was a verse for them, and they had to serve her. And I pointed out to her, I said, yeah, it's a very wonderful thing. They learned to serve you unconditionally even though they didn't want to. You know, so something really good came out of it, you know, and... some people say that can't be a spiritual situation, but it is. It's exactly when Deuteraster left home, he became peaceful. And it says in there that was part of it. He was away from those emotional influences.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a driving force of this world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this attachment, that's the source of all disturbance. That's all. Detached person. I used to lament for him.
So, and we're seeing all sorts of good coming out of this strange situation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has a lesson here.
So, in a way, I can really relate to as we were going through this and the stages that happened and the good that's really coming out of it, you know. So, it's just a simile, really.
Yeah.
Of her situation. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a good class. I was wondering, the pranayama that you did you feel that actually helped you to come to Krishna consciousness? And you come to Krishna consciousness, was it of an advantage to have done that or disadvantage?
Thanks for question. This was pranayama was part of other things I did, meditations and stuff, and then different things. I was attached to Kabbalah, you know, old Jewish Orthodox mystical Kabbalah. Just kind of a bit dodgy. So this was just a part of it. I didn't look, did this for long. Very quickly after that, of course, I was came in contact with philosophy. And, in matter of fact, it took me about probably 10 years to accept Krishna consciousness from the day I read the books. So I was kind of involved in all this. Didn't accept, although, you know, of course, I accept Prabhupada straight away as something very unique, which you just, I didn't read any other author with such conviction, no messing about, you know, that's it, what you do, what you don't. But it took me 10 years, so. And then, of course, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I dropped this all about. Interesting thing that I see in the beginning, devotees often, they're very attached to different diets, different yogas, different. It's almost like a rule. They bring their baggage, which is kind of okay, kind of spiritual thing. They continue within Krishna consciousness. But later, when they get serious, this slowly drops out. So I lost interest in all this. You know, you can say for self-help, maybe, I don't know. Just remnants of previous life, maybe, or something, but I dropped this. Now I'm not interested anymore even to waste time on diets. You know, I'm just thinking sometime, you know, I already spent my, I don't know, many years living a healthy life, and now reaping this, you know, good reactions for that. And then I have to live maybe for the next 20 years to hell, you know, waste time with this. So I kind of, you know, just point is reduce the eating, you know, avoid sweets, this kind of dietary things. But I just, yoga, forget. I still do some yoga because it helps me to function for my, you know, back and quickly. Just exactly what I need. I don't do like this asana, that asana. 20 minutes in morning, soon as I wake up. For the body's sake, you know, simple. You know, but in case that pranayama helped me in Krishna consciousness, I don't know, because as I said there, it didn't calm my anger. I get very flamed, you know, everybody knows, kind of. All benefit I reaped is from many years being here around and getting many reactions for my offenses. So this helped me to kind of calm a little bit down, and I using different techniques to trick the mind still, you know. But I can say that pranayama didn't give me much within Krishna consciousness. Before that, just was, you know, you think you're spiritual, you know, okay, you know, breathing 10 times an hour, so great. anyway, you know. This kind of, I've seen devotees who are serious more as time passes, they just drop all this out, just enough, you know, like, you know. So therefore, I don't like kind of to see this. I mean, I accept that, you know, when somebody wasting so much time on all these special diets and, you know, getting this, getting that. I don't even want to go to doctor to see what's wrong with me, what vitamins I lack or something. I just don't want, because I know I've got mental only, because I'm very fussy about what I take in. You know, we have to spend fortune to buy proper nutrients, proper supplements. I just don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know what's wrong with me. When I drop down and finish in, I don't know, emergency clinic, okay. But before that, I don't want to get mental about that. So anyway, I don't know if that helps. But, you know, it's good for common people, you know. Maybe you become spiritual by doing this. You know, I was reading a lot, investigating a lot, you know, through this, because, you know, your package is there. You do something spiritual, doing something, you know, in that help, maybe it was helpful, you know. But otherwise, not. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to 9 protagonists of devotional service. A good fortune. No Ashtanga. God's sake. Hare Krishna.